You're listening to HBCU Pulse Radio on Sirius XM Channel 142 HBCU. You're now locked in to HBCU Pulse. We are the number one outlet for HBCU life, talking about everything that's important to our culture. From on-campus issues to politics and what's trending on the yard. We always keep that same energy. Don't touch that dial. You're listening to HBCU Pulse Radio.
What's going on, everybody? This is Randall Barnes, the founder of HBCU Pulse and the host of HBCU Pulse Radio, here in the building for another special edition of the show on today, where, man, we have a lot to cover. We're continuing our coverage of College Hill, and we have an interview with the brother, season three, Rodney Henry, the ladies' man, the player. That's actually one of my favorite characters on season three of College Hill at Virginia State University. So you'll get an opportunity to hear from him. But first, we have some serious news to talk about. Affirmative action is in the hands of the Supreme Court, and they might issue a ruling before July the 4th. So we might see a continuation of affirmative action, or we might see affirmative action struck down, and that will change the face of higher education and even HBCUs as we know it. And just for that, we're doing something really rare on today as we start the show with Randall's Thoughts.
You're listening to Randall's Thoughts on HBCU Pulse Radio.
Yes, so when I woke up Saturday morning, I had every intention of taking a break. My brain was overloaded with news because I'm always reading, I'm always watching. I am a media consumer. I love media. So I'm seeing everything about Donald Trump getting indicted and the Espionage Act. Then I'm an NBA fan. The NBA Finals on right now. The Nuggets are poised to win as I'm recording this, right? So I'm just so overloaded with news. So I decided, you know what? Monday next week is going to be crazy, so I'm going to take a break, and I decided I was going to step away for a couple of days. But in these moments, it is very important to log out of social media before you get sucked back in. And if you don't do that, your news break is going to end prematurely, and you'll be sucked right back into whatever is going on at the moment and whatever hot topic people are talking about. And of course, the hot topic that I got sucked back into happened to be about higher education and affirmative action. So Fox News just released a documentary entitled The Diversity Verdict about the affirmative action case and the history of affirmative action from their point of view and from their slant. And I saw an article where they referenced one of the main points of the documentary. The article, Asian American Student with 1590 SAT Score Rejected by Six Elite Colleges Blames Affirmative Action, was published by Fox News, and I read it, and I was very perplexed at the whole entire gist of the article. The article focused on John Wang, an 18-year-old from Florida and one of the plaintiffs in the Supreme Court case, Students for Fair Admissions versus Harvard. Now, mind you, Students for Fair Admissions also has another court case against the University of North Carolina. So they're trying to cover public and private institutions in regards to affirmative action, trying to get it taken down. So John appears to be an exceptionally capable student, scoring 1590 out of 1600 on the SAT exams and boasting a 4.65 GPA, way better than I did when I was in high school. However, he was denied admission to all six institutions he applied to. He spoke about it with Fox News' Lauren Ingram in the documentary.
So the top tier schools I applied to were MIT, Caltech, Princeton, Harvard, Carnegie Mellon, and UC Berkeley.
According to Wang, he wasn't shocked by the rejections. His guidance counselors had specifically warned him that it would be hard for him to be admitted to these, quote, elite schools, particularly as an Asian American student. He was clearly frustrated about his information, so he quickly jumped to the conclusion that he was denied admission due to affirmative action. And he even claimed that Students for Fair Admissions informed him that Black students had a higher chance of admission to these competitive institutions than Asian American students. And when I heard that, I was like, what do Black students have to do with this? Here's what he said in the documentary.
I gave them my test scores and a few other things about me, and then they must have ran the model on that and then Edward Bloom told me my results, and so they said I had a 20% chance of gaining admission to Harvard as an Asian American, and then a 95% chance as an African American.
So when I read and heard that statement, I was once again perplexed. I just couldn't understand how John and the Students for Fair Admissions arrived at that point. I just don't understand how they put two and two together and got four from that. Like, oh, well, black folks, it's easy for them to get in, 95%, but 20% chance you're going to get in. I just didn't understand it. And I didn't understand also why they didn't talk about the two real issues in higher education when it comes to diversity and these Ivy League and elite, quote unquote, institutions, legacy admissions, and the culture of inclusiveness that these institutions have to keep up. And if anything, black applicants are even more affected by the problems that they're attributing to affirmative action. But we'll talk about that in a second, because I got a study that we did on HBCUPulse.com that I want to point you all to and give you the summary here on HBCU Pulse Radio. But let's talk about affirmative action. So affirmative action in higher education, by definition, refers to the practice of considering race and gender in the admission of students to universities. This practice was defended by the Supreme Court's ruling in 2003 regarding the case Grutter versus Bollinger. The judges at that time ruled in favor of affirmative action, with conservative Justice Sandra Day O'Connor, who was appointed by Ronald Reagan, actually siding with the liberal justices. And she said this about the outlook of affirmative action in the future.
It has been 25 years since Justice Powell first suggested approval of the use of race to further an interest in student body diversity. We expect that 25 years from now, the use of racial preferences will no longer be necessary to further the interest that we approve today.
Now, here we are, 20 years later. Have things improved? Is affirmative action still needed? Does the Students for Fair Admissions have valid reasons to push for the end of affirmative action? And I think this is the most important thing watching the Fox News documentary. Are black students the real problem? Is it our fault? Well, we took a look on HBCUPulse.com at the most recent statistics, courtesy of U.S. News and World Report, for each institution that John applied to. So if you look at the chart that's on HBCUPulse.com, Asian American students comprise the highest racial population at Caltech, MIT, Carnegie Mellon, and Berkeley. Meanwhile, black enrollment at three of the four institutions that he applied to, Berkeley, Carnegie Mellon, and Caltech, didn't even reach 5%. And for all six, including Harvard and Princeton, when you look at their individual stats, black enrollment doesn't even make up 10% of each of their individual student populations. And the craziest part about it is that Berkeley has 32,000 plus students and Carnegie Mellon has 7,000 plus students. So you would think with the influx of students and the fact they have a higher admissions rate, you would think that they would have more black students, but they actually have less black students than Harvard, Princeton, MIT, and the other institutions that have a lower admission rate. To me, I think that's the real case and the real story. And here's the thing we all understand. Getting into these institutions is highly competitive as they have low admission rates, like I said, and rigorous standards, and they deserve to have that. I understand it. Yet the issue of legacy admissions isn't emphasized in this case. And here's the thing. Students for Fair Admissions acknowledges that legacy admissions are a problem, and they argue that ending the practice would help achieve racial diversity if affirmative action is also ended. They argue that in a New York Times article from last year. But why fight to end affirmative action when it seems to actually be helping? We can directly challenge legacy admissions. When you look at all these institutions, and you'll see it on HBCUPulse.com, four of the six institutions that he applied to has more Asian American students than any other racial group. And then at Princeton and Harvard, you'll see that the Asian American student population is not that far off from the white student population. However, a survey conducted in 2018 by Inside Higher Ed found that 42% of admission officers at private schools admitted that legacy status was a factor in admission decisions. And additionally, the Harvard Crimson reported findings from their survey of incoming freshmen last year that 15.5% of applicants were legacies. If these numbers are accurate and reflective of all Ivy League institutions, that 15.5% would far surpass the percentage of African Americans admitted across the board, and especially across all six institutions that John applied to. Now, here's the thing, and you know this about me if you listen to HBCU Pulse Radio. I'm all for combating systemic inequities in higher education, and it's understandable that John's lack of admission into those six institutions raises questions about the process. I get it. But jumping to the conclusion that affirmative action should be abolished and citing Black students as one of the determining factors is really misguided. We're 5 years away from Justice O'Connor's projected timeline for the end of affirmative action. But it seems like, just like in college, the deadline of turning our assignment should be extended. I think y'all need to give us about 25 more years, maybe 50. And then we'll see then if we can get it together. And those are my thoughts on today. I really encourage you to go and look at the statistics that we have up on HBCUPulse.com. It is really illuminating. And this is going to get incredibly interesting as we see how the Supreme Court rules in this case. Coming up, we have Rodney Henry from College Hill Season 3 talking about his experience on the show. So make sure to stay tuned. You're listening to HBCU Pulse Radio.
From the shade room to your news feed, we brag different. You're locked into HBCU Pulse, now trending worldwide.
Welcome back to HBCU Pulse Radio. So as you all know, we've been covering College Hill extensively for this season of College Hill Celebrity Edition at Alabama State University, but also for the HBCU Experience, America's first Black reality TV series. It's an anthology book that is available on Amazon right now that features several of the original cast members from the 2000s, from Southern, Langston, Virginia State, University of Virgin Islands, and even the intern seasons. So I got the opportunity to speak to Rodney Henry from College Hill, Virginia State University, Season 3, which is my favorite season, if you all didn't know. And Rodney got the opportunity to talk about his portrayal on the show, how things were, how things have been, and the legacy of College Hill. Check it out. Rodney, how you doing today, man?
Man, I can't complain. You know, regular business, husband type of father type of stuff going on.
We're here talking about College Hill and, of course, the HBCU Experience, America's first Black reality TV series. So first and foremost, how does it feel to be a part of this book, man?
You know, I was thinking about that, man. You know, you don't understand the impact that it has until everything settles in. And, you know, when Ray and Ashley reached out to me, I was just kind of like, you know, this would be an awesome time to tell about our story, tell the world about our story. I know they watched us on TV, but really diving into our chapters and gaining that experience that we went through on College Hill and college, period.
I love it. So I got to tell you what I told Ray the first time I interviewed Ray. So I first interviewed Ray last year around the time that College Hill Celebrity Edition came out. And I told Ray straight up, and I've said this openly, that College Hill Season 3, Virginia State, is my favorite College Hill. Like Season 3 is my favorite season. So we're going to really get into it. And I know what's really going on, man. So I'm going to ask you some real questions. So first and foremost, let's really get it started. So what made you go on College Hill? Like, how did you find out about it? And how'd you get on the show?
To be honest, man, I didn't want to do it. You know, I was moving around, you know, messing around, doing what I do. And I didn't want a lot of people in my business. And I didn't even go to an interview or nothing like that. So, you know, Tracy Edmonds called me personally. And I ain't trying to brag on that, but she called me personally. And she was just like, I'm not leaving this campus until I get an interview with you. And I was like, why are you reaching out to me? And she was like, everybody I interview, our majority of people I interview say you need to interview Rodney. He'd be a good person for it. So I went and talked to my brother, my mom's, and one of my good friends, G. And they was like, man, what we talking about, man? This BET, chance of a lifetime, go and do it and show people how to do it. So that's how it happened.
She was tracking you down?
Tracy Edmonds, man, that's a true story. Call her.
I can't call. I don't got a number, man. I don't got a number. But that's crazy. So, you know, what other things were you doing on campus where, like, people really knew who you were and you were really like that, man?
You know, I played ball. You know, I played ball my whole 4 years in college. Pledged Phi Beta Sigma, the greatest fraternity on earth, in case people was doubting it. You know what I'm saying? And I was just running with a good crew of people, man. I'm from Newport News, Virginia. I had a couple of my guys up there. And then we formulated an organization called The Team. And everybody would just mess with us. And I was probably like the loud one or the more boisterous one or you know, and I was moving around with the girls. So you know how that was, man.
Hey, man, listen. Like, I talked to Ray, and Ray said you were really like that. Like, what we saw in the show, because when you came in, they did, like, you know, your part where they introduced you. And they talked about how you were the ladies' man, how you were getting at the women. You were talking to them, all the different stuff like that. So before College Hill, like, what was it like? Because people were saying, like, hey, get him on the show, interview him. So what was it like on campus for your popularity before you got on the show?
You know, I know I got people joke me all the time, saying, man, you ain't get like that till you got on TV. I said, man, I've been like this, man. This ain't nothing new, man. I said, it might have enhanced it some more, but I've been doing what I was doing, man. I always been a popular guy. Always been a people's person. Always been a person that, you know, people love my energy and want to be around me, period. You know, maybe some people was confusing with cockiness, you know, but it was just confident, man. It was just, I love myself. I love being around people, and I just love the energy that I give off, and people was loving it too, you know what I'm saying?
But, like, when it comes to, like, the popularity afterwards, because I want to just fast forward to the end, and then we're going to get back to the show. So you already liked that on campus, you know, when you started the show. And then, like, the show happens, and it goes big. It's BET's first College Hill series after Viacom bought it. You know, so what was it like after the show aired?
You know, after the show aired, man, it was, you know, it got all my family members hitting me that I ain't talked to. And forever, my mom like, you know, that's your aunt such and such son. I'm like, man, I don't know who them peoples is. And then, you know, we traveling around the world. You know, we going to the BET Awards. We going to the after parties. We doing guest appearances. You know, everything this like I said got enhanced, man. You know, we ain't standing in the line. We walking straight to the front. You know, we walking across after the BET Awards. And, you know, I'm saying, what's up? What's up, Snoop? He like, what's up, nephew? We had this spring bling and, you know, T.I. on stage right in front of us. And you got people to the left. I was like, yo, them the cats from College Hill. Like, it was just love. I'm on the airplane and Sierra was like, I remember you guys. I watch our show. It was just mad love, man. People embraced us. And it was just something that you wouldn't even imagine.
But I got to ask you this. So, you know, I'm looking at the DVD and what I remember is the first episode where y'all were in the pool. You know, and it literally talks about it. When I look at the box of the DVD, it says the hookups are hotter, the emotions are edgier, and the all-campus chaos is crazier than ever before. Toe-sucking, bikini-barring, and sexy hot tub trooper there. That all happened in that one scene. They describing that one scene. So you got to tell us about the pool scene in Virginia State, College Hill, Virginia State, man.
You know, that's why we the best College Hill that's out, season 3, man. All that happened in one scene, man. You know what I'm saying? It was just, you know, everybody came over. It was a vibe. Everybody jumping in the pool, taking their clothes off. We sipping. And, you know, once that liquor get in, you know what I'm saying, that Casa Amigo, Busha Ego, we weren't drinking Casa back then. We was drinking the Henny. But, you know, Bianca getting in the pool. We playing Truth or Dare. People sucking people's toes. Bianca throwing a bra across the room. And Wolves was out. They was trying to get to him, man. You know how that go.
Yeah. Unfortunately, sometimes. But you know what I like, though? And this was something I talked to Ray about. I read an article because I've been real big fan of College Hill. I was alive at the time. Like, I'm 26. But okay. I was, like, watching, like, Power Rangers and, like, Nickelodeon around that time. Like, I would channel surf and I would land on College Hill. But, like, I didn't stay watching it because it didn't draw my interest at the time. But as I got to that college age, especially my junior year, I was just infatuated with HBCUs in the media. So I do all this research even before College Hill Celebrity Edition came on. And I saw how the first two seasons of College Hill, especially the second season, was portrayed. And then I look at the third season, and with you all, it was a different vibe because it felt like we were going through college with you all. It didn't feel like, oh, these are co-eds just being wild. So, like, how do you reckon with being the season that was the new BET, the Viacom BET's first season, and them seemingly trying to make it more positive? How did you view that as a cast member on the show that season?
It takes time when you're such, like, the partier and trying to have a good time and you just living that college life. And then when things get serious, when, you know, you got to give back to the less fortunate, and it kind of settles in, like, you know, people are really out here struggling, man. And, you know, what we did, we went to prepare the food for the people. And it just was a wild kind of thing that sunk in, saying, man, people can't take life for granted, man. And the things that you do for people, do it out the kindness of your heart, man, because everybody doesn't have a food to eat every day. Everybody doesn't know where they're going to lay their head at. So that kind of settled in, was just like, man, let me embrace this moment and really, really take it for what it's worth. And then the Rosa Parks thing, you know, I didn't get a chance to go, but I would have loved to go because, you know, I'm in college life, man. I'm always keeping a buck with you. I had some work I needed to make up, and my teacher was not playing with me. And so, you know, it kind of hurt me that I didn't get a chance to go to the Rosa Parks things for, you know, what she did for us as black people and just what she did for the world. You know, so I really wanted to be there for that, but I didn't get a chance to. But my castmates told me it was an awesome time. They were shedding tears and, you know, just embracing the moment.
So you talked about how your teacher was on you. You couldn't go to the Rosa Parks Memorial Service because you had an assignment. You know what? I totally understand because I've had those situations happen to me. So how did you balance being like a student at Virginia State and being on the show? Because you were indeed a student, you know, so how did you balance that?
The reason why I love Virginia State is that we're more like a family, man. So, you know, you got people in your class, they don't want to see you fail. You know, you got professors that, you know, look at you like they're kids and they want to see you pass. So, you know, they're going to help you out. You got to go to their office after hours. You got to email them. And then you got your friends in there, too, that's kind of helping you out with the tests as well, saying, yo, this is what we got coming up. Make sure you prepare for that. And, you know, I'm going to always find a good time, man. I don't care if it's a Tuesday. I'm going to find a good time to have a good time. And then basketball was my first love. So, you know, I didn't care if I stayed up to 6 a.m. partying or studying. You know, that was going to wake me up organically because just from my love for basketball. So that was easy.
Hey, you need to advise like the College Hill Celebrity Edition Season 2 cast.
Ray J don't even think about going to class on time.
He don't. But like, what were some challenges that you had filming? You know, because I know that every day couldn't have been perfect, or maybe it was, you know, but if it wasn't, like, what were some challenges that you went through as you were filming?
You know, man, always try to view the positive out of stuff, man. So, you know, I can sit here and tell you the cameras was in my face too much, or I was mic'd up too much, man, but that comes with the territory, man. I didn't have no bad moments up there, man. It was all a once-in-a-lifetime thing that I was excited to do and I embraced. I never had a moment where I was just like, yo, I'm getting tired of this. You know what I'm saying? Because I never weigh in on the negative too much. I'm always look towards the positive. So, you know, I was having fun, man. That was just college to me, man. I was just kind of like, what are we doing next? Let's get it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but y'all was really outside. Y'all will always get like just doing something. And I think that was the part that's endearing for me is that, like I said, it felt like college. And I think that, you know, me not seeing those first two seasons because I was too young to see them, you know, and then, you know, me seeing season 4 and that being my second favorite season. Of course, there's only like 4 that were at colleges. But like, you know, season 4, my second favorite season is like even with that season, they were going to class. But that was more so of a clash of cultures where they're coming from L.A. and they're going to Virgin Islands. But this, I was like, every episode, I was there in class with you. Like, I was there in the house with you. We were on campus with you. Yeah. So, like,
you was in there when the teachers ain't want to let some of us in class. You came there late. And that's real college, man. You got to wake up and get to class on time. You got some teachers don't play that. You got to stand up when they walk in the class. When a lady walk in the class, you got to stand up. Dr. Bay, you got to take your hat off. You know,
you got to stand up.
Bro, Dr. Bay. And when a female walked in the classroom, all the gentlemen had to stand up. He taught you more than books, man. He taught you more how to be a man. And I always respected him for that. Even my younger brother that ended up going to Virginia State after me, he got attached to Dr. Bay too, just because just some of his tactics and skills that he believed in life.
Hey, that makes sense. And standing up, every how many women in your class? Was it every woman?
If you were sitting in the class before the young lady got in class, you were standing your hind paws up. He ain't play that. He'll look at you like you had 2 heads.
What?
Yes, sir. Dr. Bay, ask about him.
I might ask about, is he still there?
Official, she might have retired. You know, he was getting kind of old. I think his father might have passed away. He was getting sick, but he might have retired. But he, great professor, man, great.
I got to ask this. I think I know the answer. He was a black male professor, wasn't he? He was a man.
Absolutely.
I already could tell. That's very old school.
Well kept together too, man.
Would he wear suits and sweater vests?
Sweater vests, blazers.
Was he Cliff Huxtable? Like, what? That's what it seemed like to me. It seemed like he was Cliff Huxtable. Like, what in the world? Like, but not. Like, I feel it. And you just said that, you know, your brother went to the issue after you. So, like, what was that like for him, you know, to be that next generation from you after you were on College Hill?
Man, to understand my brother, you got to know him, man. My brother totally different from me. He don't want the crowd. He wanted to go to school, play football. He didn't tell people he was my brother sometimes. He just wanted his own identity. And I respect him for that. You know, he never wanted to be in my shadow. He always wanted to have his own lane. And I'm still to this day, he's like that. I mean, you'd be like, you Rodney, brother? He'd be like, who asked? Wow.
Wow.
But he'll be like, yeah, that's my brother. He'd do anything for me, but he just kind of always liked his own lane. He wasn't big on crowds.
But I want to ask you about your growth because, you know, you're real cool. Like, you had the wave, you had the women, you had the popularity, you know. But one thing that I don't think we talk about when it comes to College Hill is the fact that in college you grow. And you were even under a larger microscope within that college experience. So under that microscope, how did you grow as Rodney the Man?
So, you know, it's all about the people that you hang around, you know what I'm saying? So my best friend went to Virginia State with me as well. And then one of my other closest friends named G and Ish went there as well. And so just kind of keeping everybody on the same page and in order. And if I stepped out of line, they would let me know. That ain't cool what you're doing. And I also had a team of brothers that we made an organization called the team, the Elite Ascending Male, where we stood on that. We wanted to, you know, show people how it was to be the Elite Ascending Male at a university. But all in the same, you know, I'm still in college. I'm still moving around and I'm still the life of the party. But you know, growing up and getting older, you know, I had my kid, I had my firstborn when I was 25. And, you know, my father wasn't in my life, you know, so my step pops raised me. And, you know, I didn't want my son to never go a day without knowing where his dad was at. So that kind of made me grow up faster. Me and his mom, you know, we bought a house. We tried to do the adult thing, the parent thing real fast. I wasn't ready for it yet, man. I wasn't ready for it yet. So I can't sit here and tell you that was my immediate change. It was that I know I needed to take care of my son. And so me and his mother, we stayed together about 5 years and we ended up parting ways. McDonald's came into the picture. I had a mentor named Al Harris because my mother was an owner already. And he said that, I don't know what you're doing, man. He said, if you're going to do this College Hill thing, you're going to be on TV, you're going to be an entertainer, you know, go do it. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, you have this this thing in front of you that you can really take advantage of it and set up you and your family in the future. So I eventually got into the Next Generation program where you got to go through all the department heads. You have to run a store for a year, supervise a store, dual stores for a year. And then you got to go through the process of them interviewing you to be an owner operator. So once that stuff started happening, you know, I knew I had to get serious because I'm representing the brand of McDonald's and it's such a big brand. And, you know, I eventually became an owner operator back in 2012. And so just that and just wanting more for myself, knowing that what I'm doing now is not going to make my bank account comfortable and it's not going to make me be able to take care of my son the way I want to take care of my son. So those kind of things, you know, pull me this way and pull me back that way. But having those solid friends around me to let them know where I want to be at, where and direction that I'm going in. And, you know, I ain't had to look too far out of my house either. You know, my mom, she got her GED from School of Hard Knocks. You know, my mom didn't go to college and, you know, she came up to be an owner operator. And then my older brother, he has this big construction company, you know, Team Henry. And he's tearing down all the statues and stuff in Virginia. So, you know, always had somebody to look up to and keep me in line and always had somebody to show me, you know, this, if this is where you want to go, this is what you need to watch. So that's what kind of always helped me out and kept me aligned and kept me on the path of always wanting to get better and growing.
Man, like your family gets the bag. That's what I'm hearing. Man, your family get that money. Man,
we just got God in our corner. And, you know, we just try to stay steady. You know, we have our ups and downs like any business, you know, but, you know, God ain't bring you here to leave you here. You know, he's going to get you through it.
I love it. That's real. And how I look at it is that, like, you have a great rationality of the experience of where you've been and even that time on College Hill and what that became. So I want to ask you this before we get to talking about, you know, the newer seasons. Is there anything that you would have done differently on College Hill, like even in that filming process, even something that we didn't see on camera? Like, is there something that you, or even some things that you would have done differently?
My mom got mad at me about that Deidre scene. When Deidre came over to my bed and, you know, got into my bed and stuff like that. My mom ain't want to see that. You know what I'm saying? It was cool for the boys. I got mad props and high fives and I see what you're doing and stuff like that. But I didn't want my moms to see that. And, you know, I was talking to my son's mother. We were just in our dating, talking phase and stuff like that. And you know, I didn't want them to see stuff like that. And her moms and her dad seeing stuff like that. So anything I could take back would be that. But in the same sense, it was what it was, baby. That's rock star for you. You know what I'm saying?
it really was. Like, that's one of the parts that, like, I really like when I think about that season. It comes to mind because y'all were going at it. Like, y'all were going back and forth, then that happens. So, like, were y'all really, like, going back and forth? Like, were y'all really, like, beefing? Or was it just like, oh, man, that's how we do?
No, it was the fake flirting, you know what I'm saying? And then, you know, as you're around somebody for so long, you become attracted to them. You know, you like the way they move and how they act. And, you know, your hormones is jumping. You're a youngin', you know what I'm saying? So, that friendship grew into more and more and more instead of the little friendly flirting and all that BS that you see, you know what I'm saying? It was kind of like, where Deidre at? Oh, I want to see Deidre though. Deidre, you looking all right today, baby. Stop playing with me, you know what I'm saying?
And I hear you. So, like I really got to ask about the Orion thing. I got to ask for that before you go. You know what I'm saying? Because I feel like that's coming, but I got to ask you this. Like, what do you feel about the legacy of College Hill? Like, how do you summarize it? And it's almost been 20 years since your season aired, you know? So how do you summarize the impact and legacy of College Hill up to this point?
You know, still 20 years later, man, I just moved to South Carolina maybe 2 years ago, me and my wife. People out here, I want you that cat on College Hill. And so it's just worldwide, man. College Hill, Virginia State introduced Rodney Henry to the world and my other castmates. And it put us in a situation that we could have took advantage of some things. And it took us, it put us in other situations where we can get some extra money on the side too. But also, you know, you always talk about you want to be on TV and then it finally comes and then you just like, damn, we really was on national TV on BET. That was crazy. That was insane. And then for you to watch the BET Awards on TV, and then now you sitting in the stands at the BET Awards watching Ja Rule or whoever it was that year, and then you at the after party and Suge Knight there, and you dancing on girls, and you get Suge Knight the head nod, and he just give you the head nod back, and y'all go back to dancing and stuff like that, but you know, the legacy of College Hill, man, it has so much potential. I think that, you know, what we're doing right now, bringing this book out, you know, it's letting our fans know how we're doing. And because we got fans that still attached to us, I feel like BET can do a little bit more, more like MTV does, digging back into their castmates, because you just never know what can come from that. And we still have a fan base that wants to know how we're doing, what you're doing, and so forth like that. So, you know, the experience was awesome. I feel like we have a lot of potential coming down the pipeline, and what they're doing with the Celebrity College Hill, you know, is awesome, man. You really getting to see the celebrities experience that college experience while also experiencing that roommate experience, because it's one thing to experience the college experience, but it's another thing to have that roommate experience. Y'all arguing, y'all fussing, y'all fighting, stuff ain't clean. Somebody's gonna become attractive to somebody. you know, the sex scenes, it happens, you know what I'm saying? It just happens. So I like the direction they're going. Let's keep going and let's do even more.
So I got to ask you this, just my natural inclination to follow up. So you said that you want BET to do almost like what MTV is doing. And absolutely, like, you know, you see the Real World cast. We've seen them reunite. Even like every season of Love & Hip Hop, there's a reunion show. Same thing with the Real Housewives, you know? So like, is that what you want for BET? Like, what would you want for BET to do for College Hill to really bring up the old cast?
You know, that's still to be determined. You know, it's, you can get so creative with it, but I would love for, you know, for them to bring us back in some form or fashion, because like I said, we still have a fan base. We still have people out there that love us. You know, we still look good. We're keeping ourselves together. Our face still belong on the tube. You know what I'm saying? But I just would love for us to interact with what they're doing now and what we did in the past.
Hey, I love that. So real quick before we go, all right? So
you got rusty, College, man. I'm saying real quick, man. You
got I feel you. So I'm gonna ask you two questions about college. I'm gonna ask you a broad question, then we gotta talk about Orion, because Orion the ladies, man, too. So yeah, how do you feel about College Hill Celebrity Edition this season? We're three episodes in, fourth episode coming out tomorrow. Like, how are you feeling about this season thus far?
You know, I was excited, man, especially for them to come out with the second season. I like Amber Rose. I like New York. I like what's your guy name dress up as a girl sometime?
Quay Rogers. Quay.
Quay. You know, Ray J is a fucking, he's a clown, so you gotta have him around. And then you got Shumpert out there as well. And then the young lady too. So I feel like it's a good blend. And if I left somebody out, I apologize. But I feel like it's a good blend of castmates. But watching the first couple episodes, I was like, this shit about to get sticky. You know what I'm saying? The first show. Oh, and Jocelyn, what she call herself?
The Puerto Rican princess.
Princess,
yeah.
He came in there ready to fight already. I said, sheesh. I thought like on Love & Hip Hop, she'd be acting, but that's really her personality. She do not play.
She really liked that.
He came in there fist balled up, iron throwing. I said, damn, she won't even let Shorty back in the room. Ray had to call a house meeting. I said, man, if they don't get this together, I don't know, they're going to be able to finish the season. Sheesh.
Well, according to what we see, I guess some folks didn't. But, you know, that's left to be determined. We're going to get to the bottom of it on HBCU Post. I'll do them recaps. But Orion, so, you know, we're looking at the preview, right? Yep. And, you know, we see that Orion got that swag. He from that generation. You from that generation, too, where y'all was like that early 2000s, you know what I'm saying, that swag, you know what I'm saying? So, like, we look at that second episode, they on the yard, and New York sort of fell in the way. First episode, she say something. Second episode, she say something. Then I think we see her run like a bath for Orion. Right. As a ladies man that was a part of the College Hill franchise, how are you feeling about Orion and possibly New York and how he's moving? How you feel about that?
I feel like, you know, first and foremost, I seen New York shooting her shot a mile away. She was throwing little hints there. I said, damn, you feeling your feelings out, ain't you? And then she shot her shot, looked like ran that man at Bathwater. He closing the door. I mean, he got to move accordingly, man. You know what I'm saying? You don't want to move too early and X yourself out with somebody else. So you got to move accordingly, man. Don't be too fast to rush into something. You see the shit that happened with me and D was at the end of the season. I was filling out my fillers, you know what I'm saying? I can't let you put your claims on me already, baby. I got to act accordingly. You know what I'm saying? That's part of the rules.
And to be out of New York breaking rules too, because New York had a powerful scene where they're in the civil rights courts and she said she has a white fiance and she gets ashamed to look at him when injustice happens. So it seems like she looks at him crazy every day. Because injustice happens all the time to black folks. You know what I'm saying? So she might as well break up and get with Orion at this point. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, she got to relax with that statement. That's wild right there.
So it was wild to you too? It wasn't just me?
That's out of control, my boy.
Because I'm like, man. So let me ask you. So, like, for you, if your fiance said that on a TV show, how would you feel? Because I'd be like, hey, what fiance? We not together. Like, I'd be like, you done.
First and foremost, anybody attached to me would never move like that. They know better. hey, what? Man, they mess around when he have my number no more. What?
Baby, they be blocking all social media. I'm telling you.
I don't need blocking. You just can't get in contact with me no more talking like that. You know better than that.
Like, man, like when I saw that, I'm like, New York ain't gonna have, she gonna be single by the time this come out. And I think she might know that New York's something else. New York from y'all's reality TV generation. She was very much so different.
Her fiance might be a burger though. She might run a relationship. So, facts. You know what I'm saying? She wearing the pants. She say stuff like that all the time and don't nothing happen. Not me, son. Not me.
Hey, listen, hey, just know, like, I feel that. Like, I really feel that. I'm not, black men built differently. I'm just going to say that. We built a little bit different. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, you know, we a little bit different. But, man, it was amazing talking to you, man. Like, it's crazy talking to you because I'm such a big fan of season three. Like I said, that's my favorite season. So it's just crazy, you know, to see this book and, you know, just all the stuff that you have going on, man. I'm super excited to read the book. So before we go, let's talk about that. So what is your chapter about in the HBCU experience, America's first black reality TV series?
You know, a little snippet, man. You know, you gotta buy the book, you know what I'm saying?
Of course.
It just goes through my experience in College Hill, man, my experience in college, you know, some things that I took very seriously. And just my advice to the up-and-coming kids of thinking about going to college. And I'm saying you should definitely go to college. You know, college was, you know, the best time of my life besides me having my kids. You know, the relationships and the bonds that I built in college, you know, it's unforgettable. You know, I got relationships I built in college that we got businesses together now. I got relationships I built in college that, you know, brought me my firstborn. You know, it's just unexplainable the type of things that you can learn from college and what you can take from you, because that moment in college is you kind of learning yourself. You know, how do you grow? What things you should do? Should I try that? Should I not try that? Should I hang around this person? Should I not hang around this person? Should I sleep in or should I go to class? You don't have your mom or your pop around to, you know, do these things for you. So it's kind of like that independence that you need. And I tell everybody, man, you should try college. College may not be for everybody, but, you know, I had the time of my life. And so just give people a little bit, you know, that inside of that and just the positives of college overall, you know, and me being a father as well. And me being a husband, you know, I got married 2 years ago and I just had my second born. And just some of the things that, you know, how I handled that and how I dress up, being a father and stuff like that.
It was great talking to you, man. Before we go, let everyone know where they can find you on social media.
It's just _RodneyHenry_, man.
Like what you hear?
Yeah.
Subscribe to HBCU Pulse Radio on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Also, head to HBCUPulse.com to stay up to date on what's going on in the HBCU community. Thank you for listening to HBCU Pulse Radio.